don't have the album right in front of me, but you are listening to me, Mark Naftel, and this is my name, and you're also listening to these airwaves, WPKN 89.5 FM. That comes to you from Bridgeport, Connecticut. And the station is pledge pitching. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Steve.
Okay, I'm ready for you.
Because I drive around.
I may have to plead the fifth.
I drive around here, you know, I've always got my car radio tuned to WPKN, but sometimes there's a dip in the valley, and now when this new transmitter comes online, is that going to solve that?
It's a good question. It depends where the valley is and how deep the valley is.
Just like life, huh?
So, but no, I'll give you a quick answer for that. So it's not necessarily going to make our signal go farther and wider, but it will certainly fill in some of the gaps, and it will, in the outer extremities of our listening area, it will be better. It'll be fuller and better. It will kind of not as much static in the exterior parts of our radio signal, but it still will retain that same kind of warm characteristic. Where we're going to replace this with an analog solid state transmitter, so it's not going to be a kind of a digital, highly compressed type of thing. Because I don't know about you, but if I go to other radio stations, often I hear a lot of compression, and it doesn't sound as warm as WPKN.
You feel as if you had something on either side of your skull that's just compressing and compressing.
Exactly. It makes me almost want to drive off the road sometimes.
I know.
Or at least just rush back to 89.5 FM. So we are doing our on-air fundraising. It's the best of WPKN. We started on Monday. We're going to go all this week and all next week. By the way, next Thursday, Mark, we're going to be screening the D.A. Pennybaker film, Monterey Pop, at the Bijou Theater, and that's going to be a treat. It's going to be a $15 donation, again, next Thursday, the 22nd of June, and we are going to, we're also offering, because it's the 50th anniversary of the Monterey International Pop Festival, where you have a box set, a 4-CD box set that was put out, I think, by Rhino Records. And I know you showed me the box set that you've got originally, which was this super oversized one. This is a little bit smaller, but it has the same liner notes. The booklet is about 130 pages with some great photographs. It can be yours for a pledge of $125. And the Butterfield Blues Band was one of the bands on that bill. And I was just wondering, Mark, do you remember more or less how you guys were selected, or kind of how did you guys end up there at Monterey?
Well, we were popular.
Well, I kind of knew that. So that was obviously one of the hurdles to get over. But was there any, like, your manager or record producer? I mean, was there any connection with Lou Adler or any of the other bands? Or was it just...
Lou Adler was the producer, along with John Phillips.
Right.
Of the Mamas and the Papas, and Lou Adler was also the producer of the Mamas and the Papas, but they produced that big festival.
Right.
And the business arrangements were made through the people that represented the band business-wise. Our band was managed by Albert Grossman.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. So, say no more. That'll open a few doors. Dylan's manager, right?
Correct, yes, he had a stable of mostly folk artists. He had Peter Paul and Mary and Gordon Lightfoot and... Queskin Jug Band.
Yeah. Now, you're setting up some music, I think. You've got something that you had put together from the Monterey Pop.
This comes from the same box that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The box includes five songs that our band played, but I pulled out two of them.
Right. You want to set them up a little bit? Which two did you pull out and why?
You want me to...
Just kind of curious.
You want me to tell you in advance?
Yeah, why not? Keep people on their...
Well, let me see.
Edge of their feet. By the way, the number is 203-384-9756. We've got signed, autographed copies of the first two Butterfield Blues Band CDs that can be yours for a pledge of $125 that Mark Naftel has signed. We have them here in stock, ready to ship. And also, we are ready to send out the Monterey International Pop Festival 4 CD box set for a pledge of $125 as well.
Okay, out of the five songs, I picked the two that I like best.
Okay.
And the first one's called Mystery Train. I think that was a Junior Parker tune or something originally. Butterfield Band recorded it on the on its first album, if I'm not mistaken. It was, I hesitate to say R because I wasn't fully incorporated into the band when the recording started, but by the time it was over, I was.
Yes.
And so I guess you'd say it was our album. And on that one, I want you to pay special attention to the drumming of Billy Davenport. The band, you know, had, you mentioned about how we got the rhythm section, well, I should say Paul Butterfield got the rhythm section from the from Howlin' Wolf's band, and that included...
Thank you for that call.
Yeah, that included Sam Lay on drums.
Yeah.
He played on the first album, but then he became very ill, unfortunately, at the end of 65, and so then we got another great drummer from Chicago, that's Billy Davenport.
Mm.
And in this song, Mystery Train, it emulates the trains speeding up, you know, starting in the station and gathering steam, and then towards the end, it slows down again as the song ends, and you can hear Billy Davenport playing, you know, emulating the motion of the train, the sound of the train as it changes speeds, and it's so perfectly coordinated with what everybody else is doing. He was a genius as a percussionist, and he led the whole band.
Cool.
Through that, in a way, he reminded me in some ways of a big band drummer, not maybe exactly in the style, but in the way that he would communicate an arrangement and just hold things together. I loved him so much as a person, and it was a chance of a lifetime to play with him, and we became good friends and associated later on, but that's another story. But I would draw everyone's attention. I think everyone's attention will be drawn to Billy Davenport.
This is on Mystery Train.
Yeah, on Mystery Train, that's right.
And what's then, the second cut you're going to play?
No, what is the second cut, did you say? Well, it's called Marianne. That was a Ray Charles song, and that features some piano licks out in the open. And so that will give you...
Those would be your licks.
That's correct.
Right?
That will give you a chance to know...
What were you playing back then? What kind of keyboard?
I think that was probably played on a Fender Rhodes, that particular part.
Yeah.
I used acoustic piano in the studio, and on the road I used a Fender Rhodes, and previous to that I used a Hohner pianet, but you don't want to know about
right.
that. And I also used a Hammond organ.
Right. One of the comments I heard from... David Crosby was caught talking about how great the sound system was. He said something about to the fact that he goes, finally, we have some good sound. Was that, and I think Wally Heider had his mobile unit there and had done a lot of the sound work. Did you feel like the sound in that Monterey Festival was one of the better setups that you've had?
Well, Wally Heider was a recordist. I don't know how much he had to do with the PA sound. The guy that operated the PA was a guy named Chip Monk.
Oh, Chip Monk, who did most of the set design and everything, right? The construction.
I don't really know about that, but I knew him a little bit. He was nice enough to invite me into his sound booth or to let me clamber up in there, and that's where the position from which I saw Ravi Shankar and Otis Redding and other acts, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah,
it was very nice of him, Chip Monk.
What do you think of Jimi Hendrix, as long as you brought him up? I mean, had you seen him before?
I had not seen him before. I had heard him. I can tell you that when I had never heard of him, Mike Bloomfield came into where we were playing one night at the Cafe Agogo, and he had just discovered Jimi Hendrix. And he said, I just saw a guitar player that blows me away, or words to that effect.
Hmm.
And I said, oh, Mike, you're kidding, really? He said, yeah, he's playing over at the Cafe Wa. His name's Jimmy James. And then, of course,
that's
he became
cool.
Jimi Hendrix, and I watched him. I had never burned an instrument myself, and I'd never seen anyone else burn an instrument, and yet he did. Right on stage, extraordinary. Hmm.
Another breakout performance was Janis Joplin. There's that famous scene where Mama Cass is, you know, kind of just their jaws dropping and just marveling at what's coming out of the mouth of Janis Joplin.
Mama Cass is a great singer, though.
Yeah, she was a great singer, just maybe not quite I mean, no one was like Janis Joplin. So, I mean, I think she was just recoiling, saying like, wow, this is a wall of sound coming out of this little woman. Because she was not that big of a thing, right, Janis?
Normal size.
Yeah. So, what was your thoughts about hearing her live?
Well, I thought you...
You have an anecdote, right? Well, see, but you told me that we're taking pledges for an anecdote.
You want to take a pledge before I tell the anecdote?
We're here with Mark Naftel and Monterey Pop behind the scenes.
It's not much of an anecdote, but I'll tell it if somebody pledges. Yeah. In the meantime, before I play these two songs, I'll just mention that I was saying that in the Mary Ann song, there's a Ray Charles song, and it does feature some piano, and this will show you the way I sounded on piano 50 years ago this Saturday.
I love it.
How about that? Are you ready to hear that?
I'm going to give the number out one more time because we've got one open, 203-384-9756. Show us the love. Show Mark Naftalin some love, a rock and roll Hall of Famer, and with some amazing stories. He was there 50 years ago.
Show me some love. Put your money on the Barrelhead. Here's Paul Butterfield Blues Band at the Monterey Pop Festival 50 years ago this Saturday.
We'll be right back.
All right, that's the Paul Butterfield Blues Band live at the Monterey Pop Festival on the date of June 17th, 1967. We actually played two sets that day. That's not in the program, but we played one in the afternoon and one in the evening. That's Paul Butterfield on harmonica, Elvin Bishop on guitar. Billy Davenport is the drummer. The bass player is misnamed in the packaging with the this product that comes with the Pop Festival. The bass player was not Jerome Arnold, who was the original bass player in the band. The bass player had changed by that point. That was Bugsy Mao. This was a transitional period. The drummer changed too, but this was when we had the new bass player, but the old drummer. That was a good combination too. Billy Davenport and Bugsy, both gone now, I'm sad to say. But I had a later chapter with them when I played with them together in the Midwest. And so I'm gonna turn your mic on, Steve, but I'm just going to give the personnel here. And the band had just taken in horn players, Keith Johnson on trumpet and Gene Dinwiddie on saxophone. You heard them on that song. And then the third horn player, David Sanborn, came in. And that completed the new lineup along with the new drummer after Billy Davenport. That was Philip Wilson, but we didn't hear him here. But we right before Mystery Train, right before Mary Ann, we heard Mystery Train. Those two songs recorded on the same set in 1967, Monterey.
Nice, and that was your piano work, right, at the end of that track?
That was fantastic. That was on piano. Yeah. Very true.
Sounded pretty good.
50 years ago.
Isn't that something?
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah. Great to hear that. We wanted to thank, we got a great pledge from Michael in Peconic Bay out in Long Island. He's been a longtime listener, and he was actually able to get the Monterey International Pop Festival. We figured that you'd be kind enough to give your autograph to him. And we wanted to thank Michael. He always comes through in profound ways. And maybe you're next at 203-384-9756, as we're here with Mark Naftalin. It's his radio show that he does once a month, and it's always a gem. He comes armed with beautiful 45s and LPs from his own private collection, and it's just something else. But right now, we're turning a little...
Was it Michael's pledge that was supposed to earn the anecdote about Janis Joplin? Now, this is not much of an anecdote, but it's a true story. I knew Janis a little bit. This was after this afternoon show. You know, the shadows were lengthening. We were standing in a little, small, grassy, little, slopey kind of knoll right in front of the stage there. Just the two of us, and she was a very intense person, and she said to me, "Do you think I'm going to make it?"
Hmm.
And that was foremost on her mind, obviously, and I simply said, "Well, I can't see why not."
Yeah.
I didn't know what else to say, but it sticks in my mind because of her intensity about making it. Well, everybody wants to make it.
She was intense and, you know, sadly also, I think, fairly insecure at times, but possessed immense talent and an incredible career. Pretty amazing that you had a chance to see her and talk with her a little bit. Now, we're going to shine a little bit of a light on, I think, the very first Butterfield Blues Band, right? The album that came out. And maybe how did you actually get into the band? You know, what was the... Because you knew those guys from what, the University of Chicago,
there's
right?
There's a little bit of background on it. Yeah, I was a student at the University of Chicago and graduated in 64. And in those years, mostly 62 and 63, there was an event on campus. It was called the Twist Party. It started out as a record-playing party, but then it became a dance, actually, because bands started coming, musicians, and it grew. And so the house band became Paul Butterfield and Elvin Bishop. And they had a rhythm section called the Wilson Brothers, and they would set up in the corner of this ballroom and play. Paul would sing through his harp amp and stuff, primitive. Yeah, but it was great music. They had a sign by the door that said 10 cents for beer for the band. Now, these events were called the Twist Party, and I would look forward to those like nothing else. And interestingly, they were on Wednesday nights. You know, my whole life revolves around Wednesdays now. You know, my show is on the second Wednesday of every month here at WPKN, and also on the first and third Wednesdays, and on the fifth Wednesday, if there is one, I do a show at the 323 Bar in Westport which is called Blue Wednesday Party. I got Chance Braun with me on that in a good rhythm section. And we have different guests that we feature. On next week's show, we'll be featuring Paul Gabriel.
Nice. Well, it's a great night of blues.
Yes, thank you very much. I wanted to get that in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is Wednesday Night Twist Party. And there's a little piano that sat to the side of the room there. And I used to wheel that out right to the side of where they were playing. This is not on stage or anything like that, just on the ballroom floor. And I would play along. And I was never invited to do this, but I was never discouraged from doing it. And I did it many times, and it was a good experience. And I did know how to play. You know, I knew how to play with the music that they were playing. And so I'd play along. And then I moved to New York for a year after I graduated. I was going to music school in New York. And during that year, Paul came to town, first as a four-piece band, and then with just Paul and Elvin with Elvin and Sammy and Jerome. Then he came back in the summer with Michael Bloomfield. And during that time, I got together with Paul, and he must have invited me. I don't think I would have inserted myself, but I played one night with them, just sitting in, kind of like in Chicago, just on the perimeter with an unamplified acoustic piano. This was at the Cafe Agogo, two sets. And shortly after that, I went to one of the recording sessions, and Elvin was late to the session, and they invited me to play the organ on a song. They put me on Elvin's track, and I played the song, and I played a solo on it. And then when the song was over, Paul said, "Well, keep playing," and I did. I played a number of other songs. It turned out to be a long session, and later on, towards the end of the session, it's a 9-hour session. That's what they call it, a triple session. And he invited me to join the band and to go on the road with them that weekend to Philadelphia.
That's a great story.
I accepted that invitation. I became part of the band. I was with them for 2.5 years. And the song that I played this solo on, it's called Thank You, Mr. Poobah, as it was titled. It came out on the album. And you can see when you listen to this that this is a person that really is not a very experienced organ player. I had played a lot of piano. I don't think I'd ever played a Hammond organ, and I didn't really know exactly what to do with it. But I didn't make any horrific clams. It was okay enough that I was asked to keep playing. You know, and that's how it came about.
It's on the first album, and you have writing credits part of it.
They gave the three people that had solos on it. They gave writing cards to,
Well, good. Well, let's have a listen to that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Poob. I got it all queued up.
203-384-9756. We'll be back with some thank yous because it's been busy back here. But you can make that call right now. But at this very moment, we're going to hear from the Butterfield Blues Band and Mark Naftalin on keyboards on this particular track.
with a feeling. That's what I have today. I've got to find my baby, if it takes all night and day. What a lonesome feeling when you're by yourself. When you're by yourself, yes, the one that you love has gone off with someone else. Well, you know I love you, baby. Wonder the reason why. Come and love me, baby. The feeling, that's what I have today. I've got to find my baby, if it takes all night away.
It's called Last Night. That's Little Walter's song. It's performed by the Paul Butterfield Blues Band from the band's first album, which was also called the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. From the same album, we heard Blues with a Feeling. And at the beginning of the set, Thank You, Mr. Poobah, in which the little organ solo was played by me. You listen to WPKN-FM from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Mark Naftalin is my name. And we're pitching for pledges. And we got Steve DeCostanza, station manager, on mic now.
All right. Let's see if I can get on here. There we go. I've got a couple of people to thank. Jim came in from Woodbury. We wanted to thank him. And Michael from Peconic, New York, with a very nice pledge. And thank you for all your years of support. And we are raising money right now for this independent, free-form nonprofit radio station. We're called a community radio station because all of the people that have shows are from the community, and it's all aimed at you, our community, and we are primarily listener supported. So if you can help us as we raise money for our daily operating expenses, we are winding up our fiscal year at the end of this month, and we need to make our budget, and you're going to help us with that task if you can give us a call at 203-384-9756, or you can go online at WPKN.org, and the same set of premiums and gifts are available that way as well. And one of the real big gifts that we have during Mark Naftalin's show, he has graciously signed 10 sets of CDs, the first Butterfield Blues Band album and the second album, the East West album.
I'm a signing machine.
You are, and very good penmanship, I have to say, compared to mine, for sure. But those are signed. We have them here in the studios of WPKN. We can ship them right out to you for a pledge of $125 to the radio station. All the proceeds go to WPKN, and you can take home a little piece of musical history. So I know that you were thinking about maybe playing something from East West, Mark. Is that, I don't want to jump the gun here, but...
Well, I was thinking of it, but I did want to play one song in a short set of just one song, and this is from the same session from which we just heard songs that fed into the first Paul Butterfield Blues Band album, but this particular song was not included on the album. It only came out quite a few years later, about 1995, that was 30 years later to be exact, on a CD called The Original Lost Elektra Sessions.
Sweet, very nice.
So we'll hear that, and then we'll come back.
Well, sorry, I missed the name of the song, or did you say?
Well, it's not called We'll Come Back. it's called Lover with a Feeling, and we'll hear that one song, and then we will come back and we'll talk about East West. Okay, so this is Lover with a Feeling.
Down, she didn't have to pay no bail.
shook it once for the judge. They put the cops in jail. You got the lover with a feeling. Yes, you got the lover with a feeling. You got the love, the little girl with a feeling. With a feeling. Well, you got the lover with a feeling. You got the lover with a feeling. Oh, don't you love that woman at all?
Lover with a feeling. Don't you love her at all? Paul Butterfield Blues Band. You know, Steve,
that's a good stuff. I can't believe that was left off of any kind of record.
I don't. It's a good one, all right. You know, I for some reason I had been thinking that I was playing organ on that, but I'm not so sure. I don't hear. I don't hear any.
I thought
particular
I heard some
style
keyboards.
No, there's organs prominent on it, but you know, Mike Bloomfield actually come in the band not only to be a guitarist, but also to be a keyboardist. That was before I joined, and that could have been Mike. He was good at that.
Interesting.
I didn't detect any characteristic, you know, voices that I would use or something. So in any case, it's a good sounding record.
It is. Yeah, it sounds great. Again, the number here is 203-384-9756. Richard Hill is here, and he's going to come up in just a bit and take over as tally mark. It's been a lot of fun, you know, hearing some great stories and hearing some wonderful music from you. And as always, your show is a real treat. And
thank you, Steve.
It just reminds me also a thing about Richard Hill, that this Saturday, as part of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas, there's going to be a free concert on the green at 6 p.m. And there are two really interesting bands. One is Fulasso and the other is Troker. Now, they may have unusual names, but they're really well known in other parts of the world, perhaps. Fulasso is a funk and soul Latin-based band with boogaloo and salsa. And Troker is from Mexico City. And it's going to be a free concert. And for WPKN, it's our annual picnic event where we have a roped-off area for about 50 people. So you can bring out a nice picnic dinner. You can bring out some folding chairs and blankets. Look for the balloons or the WPKN banner. And Richard Hill himself, you know, he's got a fine show, and you may not know, but he also is a member of a band called Mikita, which is one of the area's finest salsa bands, and he plays a lot of drums. So he's another musician who happens to be a programmer here as well. So 203-384-9756. Richard's on the call right now. We have signed copies of the first two Butterfield Blues Band albums, the debut Butterfield Blues Band and East West. Mark Naftalin, the keyboard player, has signed them for you, and we can ship them right out for a pledge of $125. You can take home a piece of music history, and then you're also helping WPKN in the process. So it's a win-win, the way I look at it. Make that call. I'll talk to you right now at 203-384-9756, or go online at WPKN.org. Mark, what was the next thing you were thinking about?
Well, we're moving over to the East West album now, the Butterfield Blues Band's second release, recorded at Chess Studios in Chicago in 1966.
Really? I didn't realize that. Where the first one was recorded, what, in New York?
In New York, exactly.
So you went out to Chess. Boy, that's fantastic.
Kind of went back to Chicago, I guess you'd say. The band is from Chicago.
Right. I guess so that does make some sense. But, you know, some amazing... Oh, amazing stories, blues stories, having to do with Chess Records.
And the engineer was Ron Mallow. He wasn't famous, really, because engineers didn't get famous.
Yeah.
But he was a main engineer at Chess Records, made a lot of great blues records.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Cool. And so this was in 1966 then? Is that when you went into the studio? Did you have to do it in the Chicago winter, or did you get to skip and get some better weather?
Spring and summer, as I remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly. It was right in there somewhere.
And how did it, you know, conceptually, how did it differ when you guys went into the studio for that second album? Were you in a different headspace, or did it feel, was it kind of like was there an easy segue from 65?
Well, I was surely in a different headspace. On the first album, I had started out just sitting in and not being in the band and wanting to be in the band, but never daring to hope. I mean, that would have been hubris, you know.
Mm.
I was not guilty of that.
Okay.
And amazingly, I was taken into the band. And, of course, when the second album came, I had been traveling with the band and part of the band. And so I was in the flow of the music, and I believe my music playing ability had advanced because I was working with excellent musicians every day.
Sure.
A wonderful opportunity.
Yeah.
And so the song, there was once, at a certain, I didn't start out really taking solos with the band as I was breaking in. Some time went by, and then at a certain point, I did start to solo, and the song that I first played a solo on, what are those guys talking in there? What's that all about?
I think they're taking a pledge.
Of course, how silly of me. I'm so touchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first song I played a solo on was an Alan Toussaint song called Get Out of My Life, Woman. Lee Dorsey had the hit record on that, and we did it in our way, and I played a solo on it. And so if you're ready...
Yeah, I think we're definitely ready.
That was played, and this was, I played piano on this, acoustic piano, so that was a nice thing. And now I'm going to spin that for you. Here we go.
Thank you.
Woke up this morning, I looked round for my shoes. You know I had those mean old walking blues. Yeah. Woke up this morning, I looked round for my shoes. Well, I had those mean old walking blues. Some people tell me that worried blues ain't bad. It's the worst old feeling I ever had, yeah. People tell me that worried blues ain't bad. It's the worst old feeling, ooh, child, I ever had. Books run to the ocean, man. Ocean runs to the sea. If I don't find my baby, gonna bury me, yeah. Went to the ocean and the ocean went to the sea. Since my baby started low-down ways, yeah. Men seem like hours and hours seem like days. Since my baby started low-down ways, I woke up this morning, people, I looked round for my shoes.
and I sat down on her steps. They said, come on in here, babe. Our man just left. He just now left.